Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it seems like some of us have that one friend in life that just seems to be luckier than the average person. You know, that friend who always gets the front parking spot right in the downtown restaurant, or the friend that scores the free tickets always from the radio station for the biggest concert of the summer as a giveaway, or that friend who runs into a former president on the golf course. You want to follow that friend because it seems like life tends to bless that friend just a bit more than the rest of us. It seems like these friends have what I call mountaintop experiences, you know, the cool stuff of life that very few of us experience. They just seem to have awesome stuff happen to them more often than us, and it just makes us less blessed people a little jealous. Lionel Rondia of suburban Philadelphia became one of the biggest sports fans in the world when he was down on his luck after losing his job. And rather having the loss of his job ruin his spirits, he turned to his favorite thing in the world, his love for Philadelphia professional sports teams. And what would happen to him would be an incredible mountaintop experience. So Lionel did what any true Philly sports fan would do. He started begging, borrowing, and stealing his way into every Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, and Sixers game he could. According to Tom Millison, his friend, nobody nudges better than Lionel to be able to get something done. Tom said, "I've never been to a Springsteen concert with him where he didn't say, 'Follow me,' and we didn't end up in the front row." When the Phillies played a soggy World Series Game 5, up 3-1, Lionel sat along the left foul pole in a seat that he had gotten for free. And with the game tied 2-2 in the sixth, it just started pouring rain. And as people started going home and the stadium staff were heading for the overhangs to avoid the rain, that's when Lionel somehow sneaked his way into the swanky Diamond Club section behind home plate. And that's where his friend Tom had season tickets. Well, 10 minutes in, Tom is in his seat, five rows up, just off home plate, when his cell phone rings. It's Lionel. "Look to your right," he says. And there he is, sitting two rows back, dead center behind home plate, with this huge smile on his face. If you were Lionel's friend that day, you would want to follow him. You want to follow him because it just seems like Lionel is one of those friends who always seems to have great mountaintop experiences. In our gospel lesson, it's a friend who invites his three friends to one monumental mountaintop experience. Jesus invites his three friends, Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples, his closest friends, to come on top of a mountain to experience something amazing. Peter, James, and John really like hanging out with Jesus because Jesus is that friend that always has awesome stuff happen to him. It's Peter, James, and John who saw Jesus bring Jairus' daughter back to life. They saw him walk on water. They saw Jesus feed 5,000. And it was the three of them who were instructed with the special task to prepare for the Passover and Last Supper. And now we find these three amigos, so to speak, journeying with Jesus to a high mountain. In what must have been an amazing moment, Jesus' face, his clothes, and body are transfigured. The Greek word here is metamorphosis. Jesus was changed in appearance. And not only that, but Moses and Elijah, the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, are there. And here they are talking to Jesus. man, for Peter, James, and John, this experience keeps getting better and better and better. And Peter, who just 6 days earlier proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, he wants to build three dwellings or three shrines to commemorate the mountaintop experience. You know, sometimes I think Peter can be a bit of a bumbler, like a George Costanza on Seinfeld. Peter is always saying and doing things that just get him into trouble. So as Peter is talking about building these three shrines, he's interrupted by God. And God says to Peter this is my son Jesus. Listen to him. Peter, in all his bumbling, becomes humbled by being interrupted by God. Peter's plan to build these three dwellings get nixed by God. If Jesus' transfiguration and the appearance of Moses and Elijah aren't amazing enough, here God is speaking to these three disciples directly. They can't believe their eyes. They can't believe what they're hearing. They can't believe what's happening. Their mountaintop experience gets more and more amazing. For our friend Lionel, his experience gets more amazing as well. After the Philadelphia Phillies had won, actually, 4-3 in the World Series, Lionel notices that a tall guy in a suit began to walk down the aisle. And as Lionel is sitting behind home plate, he figures that the guy's important, so he kind of slinks right in behind him through a gate toward the Tampa Bay dugout. And who's there but Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig and some other people in suits. And there, right before Lionel, is the World Series trophy. But that's when the Bat Boy starts throwing championship t-shirts out to everyone, including, you know who, Lionel. Now comes this Hawaiian woman handing out leis on everyone, putting them on the shoulders of players. And because Lionel has all sorts of time to read every word about his beloved Phillies, he knows that the woman handing out leis is outfielder Shane Victorino's mom. And so he yells out in a big voice, "Hey, Mrs. Victorino!" And she starts to put one of the leis around his neck, and she kisses him, and Lionel starts to cry. And now Lionel, with the t-shirt and the lei, looks like all the other players and team personnel. That's when Tom's cell phone rings. It's Lionel. He says, "Look on the mound." And there's Lionel amongst the players with his arms raised in victory, surrounded by Philadelphia Phillies celebrating. And if that wasn't great enough, Lionel's mountaintop experience continues. Lionel, now that he has gotten the same shirt, the lei as the players, he's looking like a player, which is maybe why he's suddenly in the middle of every hug. And that's when Chase Utley says to Jimmy Rollins, "Let's go celebrate." And Lionel says exactly what you think he would say, which is, "I'm with you guys." Now Lionel, he starts going lotto champagne crazy, squirting multi-million dollar athletes up the nose, down the shorts, over their heads, pouring bottles of champagne everywhere. And then Lionel kisses pitcher Jamie Moyer on the cheek and yells, "Thank you for everything." And then that's when the reply back is, "No, man, thank you." When it comes to life and faith, we want it to be all about mountaintop experiences. We want it to be all about trophies and celebrations, and we want life to be about celebrating the victories in life. You land that new, better job. You get married. You retire. You celebrate the birth of a new child. You get an award for your volunteerism, or you get a bonus at work, and we want to look to God and say, "Thank you, God, for everything," and raise our hands in the air. We want all those experiences because they make us feel good. Those experiences and celebrations are what make life life. Those are the experiences that make us forget about hurt and pain and suffering and loss in our lives. Those victories and mountaintop experiences help us forget about just how mundane life can be. But the challenge for you is this. Do you see your life as being all about going from one mountaintop experience to another, to another, to another? What about the in-between, the valleys of life? According to the National Institute of Health, we are the most over-medicated, over-stressed cohort in American history. It seems that we are not doing a great job at living in the mundane valleys of life. Maybe it's because we're so focused on the mountaintop experiences that we haven't learned how to live in the valleys, because we long for something more. We think life is about getting to and staying on those mountaintop experiences. For Peter, James, and John, they followed Jesus through some unbelievable mountaintop experiences. And Peter thought that this transfiguration event on top of a mountain was it. He thought this was big, Jesus' big moment, and he was going to dwell on top of that mountain and dwell in that moment by building three monuments, three shrines to remember it. Little did Peter know that this was not Jesus' big moment. Jesus did not even want anyone to know what Peter, James, and John had seen, because something bigger was coming. Easter morning was coming. Resurrection Sunday. The reality is, like Peter, mountaintop experiences don't last. The high moments of life, the celebration, the achievements, and the like, they don't last. Jesus calls us back down to earth to start doing the real work. Because life is done in the humble valleys of life, not just on top of mountains. Several years ago, I tried to skip a valley. I tried to go from mountaintop to mountaintop to try to do my career and my ministry as a pastor and to do the celebrations of the great things that we were doing in our church. After getting an email from my family, I discovered that my closest cousin was diagnosed with cancer. My cousin Jessica and I, we were close in age and stayed connected through our life. And as our parents aged, we became the ones to kind of help get the family together. We had inside jokes and we both went into helping professions. What we didn't know as a family was how aggressive her cancer was. It quickly spread through her body. And in 1 week, she was receiving treatment, and the next, she was gone. She died. Now, this was a huge shock for me. A 30-something-year-old teacher who was recently married shouldn't die. Her husband was perfect for her. They had a wonderful wedding. They were made for each other. They were in love, and it was painful not only to experience her loss for me, but to see her husband experience the loss of his beloved wife. That was excruciating. At the time, I was starting my career as a pastor of my own church, and suddenly I had to attend her funeral on short notice, and I didn't really have someone to fill in to preach for me on Sunday. So I decided that I would attend the remembrances on Friday and Saturday, and then I'd immediately come home on Saturday night to lead worship and preach Sunday morning. But that was a decision I would regret. On the way back home from the funeral, I was driving, and I was trying to put my head on right for Sunday morning, thinking about my sermon and thinking about the worship and everything going on. And as I approached the last 10 minutes to get home, driving back, for some reason I started to cry. Out of the blue, just started crying uncontrollably and had to pull over. And my kids are screaming in the back. They're hungry. They need to go to the bathroom. And my wife is asking me what's going on. I started to cry and cry and cry and cry. The grief finally set in, and I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready because I tried to shortchange a valley in my life. I was literally traveling from family struggle back to my responsibilities at the mountain of life, and I didn't stay in the valley. I tried to shortchange my valley of grief because I thought I had more important things to do. Boy, was I wrong. I didn't spend enough time dealing with my grief and loss, and it hit me hard. The valley came back and grabbed me. Like Peter, we all want to stay on the mountain with the big moments of life. We want to stay in that World Series moment of celebration and champagne and all things good. But Jesus calls us back down from mountaintop experiences into the valleys. Into the valleys of need, grief, loss, struggle, and service to be present. Not only to be present for ourselves, but to be present in the moments of the mundane, the moments of need, to help others, even a stranger. It is down in the valleys of life that we must pay attention to life. However, we have to remember that it is down in the valleys where God does his best work, where worlds collide. Even in the shadow of death, in the valley of fear, Jesus died, was crucified, and buried. But even in that darkness, God made something bad and turned it into good. He turned it into a mountaintop celebration on Resurrection Sunday. But it's when we come down from our places of security and honor and pride and safety that God uses you and I in the valleys of life to do his best work, to do work of repairing loss and grief. Today, it's my prayer. May you go to those mountaintop experiences. May you have those celebrations and trophy moments and high fives and all those wonderful things, but remember to come down. And when you come down, may you remember the words of Jesus, that you and I are called to serve and give with those in valleys. And you and I are called down to sometimes spend time in those valleys, because God meets us there, touches us, and loves us. Let us pray. God, as we struggle through life, sometimes we admit all that we have to get us through are the mountaintop experiences, the celebrations, the cool moments in life, the times when we just feel really good. But Lord, help us to see that we cannot always be on top of the mountain. We cannot always have the mountaintop experiences, that we must come into the valleys. where we ourselves must confront things that we do not want to confront. And we must come down into the valleys to help others in need. Help us with this challenge, that we may not only be mountaintop celebrators, but that we come down to be valley dwellers, knowing that there is need, that we need to help others out of the valleys, and that being in the valley in and of itself is not a curse, but Lord, it's where you do your best work. Help us with this challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.